Good evening, Fruitland Baptist Church. What a pleasure it is to be with you folks via recording tonight on the last Sunday of September, the year of our Lord 2024. This is Pastor John, of course, and I'm broadcasting this message, or recording it rather, for the second time here on Saturday morning, day before the day that you'll hear this. The last couple of messages, I've had a few glitches, and that was not to be denied yesterday when we had recording trouble, and Jason had to come out and actually do some changes to make this work. So I pray and trust that this will all work out all right here. But I do miss you folks. I look forward to the day soon, and there is progress being made that I think we can be hopeful in the not too distant future. The doctor will be able to allow me to do at least some limited things to get out. But that yet remains to be seen, and keep the prayers coming. I appreciate all the prayers, the kind thoughts, the gifts, all the kinds of things that you've done in so many ways to make this doable. And so anyway, I trust tonight our feeding on the Word will be profitable. I pray that the Gideon presentation was good this morning, both at Moscow and down at Fruitland. But again, we need to be absorbed in the teaching of the Word and the practice of the Word, not just hearing it, but doing it. And so tonight, our message is going to be found in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 6. The title of this message is Sin Blockers. So with that said, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message. Father, thank you once again for this opportunity, not only once, but now twice, to preach this message. And I pray tonight, Lord, again, that you'll help me through the power of the Spirit, because as you know, I am weak. But Lord, when we are weak in the flesh, we are made strong through you. And I pray again, Lord, these words we look at from the scriptures tonight will be profitable for us. I pray for the spiritual and physical health of Fruitland Baptist Church. And I pray, Lord, once again, that our people would be fully engaged in the day that we live, and that, Lord, you would bless and prosper Fruitland Baptist Church to be a church who stands, again, for you and upon you in the days that we live. So, Lord, I know there are many needs in all of our lives. As I think about the things that have taken place in our world in the last several generations, especially here in the United States, we know, Lord, that we have strayed far from you, and sin is the difficulty there. So I pray tonight, Lord, as we look at these four simple thoughts here from the Apostle Paul, that this will jog our thinking and jog our actions. And Lord, till I can get back there in person, just protect the flock. And Lord, we look forward to when we can all meet again very soon. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I start, I just want to always say, you know, the doors are open here at the house, unless they're not. And that would only be because I haven't gone to the doctor or recording a message or have something here that I can't deal with. But if you do come out, there's usually a card in the door if I'm going to be like in the restroom and things. So, and there's a sign on the door if I'm recording. So that's the status there. And of course, my phone is shut off when I'm doing that. But tonight we're gonna look into this idea of help that God has given us and hear from the hand of the Apostle Paul to block sin in our lives. Before I start, though, this evening, I just want to give us a thought when we consider the idea of blockers. And I have some descriptions here that I want to share here as I go through this message. But we know that in the last generation or so, there's been a big emphasis on people being very careful going out in the sun, and that's very applicable to farmers and outdoor people. That, you know, the rates of skin cancer have really mushroomed in our nation, and so there's been a lot of warning about that. That you need to wear appropriate hats, and also that you need to use sun blocker. And I know of many people, and maybe some even that are there tonight, I can't recall specifically, but I hear this often or see it often, where parents are just very diligent about never letting their children go out in the sun without sun blocker on their skin, and many adults as well, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but I'd like us to think a little bit here this evening about how we handle sin blockers, because sin is just as deadly and actually more deadly than cancer or any other physical ailments. Sin can lead us to not only physical death, which the other things that are a part of the curse can do as well, but it can lead us to spiritual death and eternity in hell. So I think it's important, and of course for Christians, and this message is, you know, specifically directed to Christians here tonight, but we do want to block the effects of sin at every possibility because it is destructive, either saved or unsaved, in its very core makeup. And so may the Lord help us with all this tonight. Anyway, friends in Christ, I'll begin. I believe for all of us that are born again in Christ, there will always be a struggle between our old nature and the new life under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Lord, through Paul's hand, has given us help in the form of four sin blockers from Romans 6 that I'd like to speak on this evening that can help us in our struggles to be overcomers and claim victory and joy in our walk. So, let's take a look together at these tonight. The first point tonight that I want to bring forth is found in Romans 6, 1 through 5, and I'll read that in just a moment. But one of the sin blockers that we look at tonight is the value of our baptism. Now, I want to expand a little bit about that tonight, what I have to say. But first, let me read verses 1 through 5 of Romans chapter 6. Paul says the following. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" You might want to read chapter 5. This all fits together. But he answers that very question. And the idea that Paul illustrates there in that first verse there is what we think in the human perspective, which is usually faulty unless it's through the lens of Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is that if there's grace and God's grace is very sufficient and abounds, then, well, why not keep on sinning? You know, if that grace is unlimited, and it is to an extent, but yet it does have limitations. It could have limitations is a better way I want to say that. It's like some of the analogies that I've given over the years. If one scoop of mashed potatoes and gravy is good, then two will be better. But folks, that's faulty thinking. And it's faulty thinking regarding our sin because God is opposed to sin. And he is opposed to us, once again, being under the influence of sin. So Paul says, should we continue in this? Because God's grace is vast. We don't know the exact limits of it. But the obvious answer to that's given by Paul in verse 2 when he says, in the King James, God forbid, or may it never be. Your thinking's wrong if you're thinking this way. And Paul gives us a questionnaire. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that it's so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, and there it is, that phrase, newness of life. So the pattern for the born-again believer, and I'll reflect on this in the baptism thoughts here, is not one of going backwards, but it's one of going forward in new life, and again, to be on the path of fleeing from sin. Now, let me say this. I believe this, that it is possible that sin could be defeated in the life of a born-again believer, but I don't believe that it ever will be in people, totally. But the point is it diminishing in your life, in my life tonight, or is it continuing to fester? And I'm bold enough to admit to you that I am still struggling with sin in many forms in my life, and I believe, again, I'm no prophet. But I think that's probably the case for everyone else that's listening to this tonight. If that is not the case, you can let me know sometime. I'd like to interview you and to hear some of the things that you've been allowed to accomplish in your life where you no longer struggle with the effects and the temptations of sin. Verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." So when we have died to our sin in Christ, and baptism pictures this, which I'll illustrate here in a minute, when we've died to our sin in Christ, we'll be resurrected into the likeness of his life after he was resurrected again as the first fruits the Bible says, of those that slept. So the first sin blocker tonight is the value of our baptism. Now let me illustrate two facets of baptism here and why this is a sin blocker if we have understood it correctly and understood what our salvation is all about. And folks, I just want to say, I think there's a lot of people that don't understand fully what salvation is. And I would say there may be people that are not saved because they have not understood this in their life. And so I'm not the judge, but I again believe that our salvation is more intricate than what many of us think. But let me illustrate that briefly tonight. First of all, we know there's two forms of baptism. There's spirit baptism. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12:13, one of the places in the Bible that speaks of that. But the thing that the Holy Spirit baptism brings upon us when we've been saved, it brings the very presence or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives, which are not only understandable, but are recognizable in some very real ways. Number one, and these are some C's here that you can remember, but the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the parakletos. He's the one who consoles us and gives us certainty. There's another C of our salvation because of his presence. But along with his presence, he also has a convicting power with us, and that is used through the word and sin. And he tells us when we're sinning or when we are about to be tempted and placed into a sinful position. He convicts us. And I can say this, that I've never entered a sin in my life where I haven't had to go around the Holy Spirit's conviction. That's a stunning thing to think about. God has tried to restrain me through his personality of the Holy Spirit, but I have what? I've gone around him. I've chose not to listen to what he said. And I'm sure that you can identify that with that as well. But also, in this same mix, he gives us the guidance, and you could use the word discernment here, about sin and how to navigate temptation in our lives and the effects of the sin curse that we live in. So I'd just like to read 1 Corinthians 12:13 briefly, and you can turn in your scriptures, excuse me, to that as well. And this is just spirit baptism, which when we think about this and we think about the possession that we have, the Holy Spirit, he is one of the main factors that keeps us blocked and helps us to block sin from our lives. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so he's teaching here on the commonality and the unity of the church, but this is spirit baptism, one of the places in Scripture that it talks about. So we have this perpetual reminder within a born-again Christian of this evidence. My friend, if you don't have that evidence within you tonight, then you may not be saved. And I believe, again, that's something worth examining, because if you're not saved, you are not being blocked from sin in the most effective way that a believer is once we have been born again in Christ and received the Holy Spirit. So there's the evidence from spirit baptism. Now I'd like to just briefly touch on water baptism for just a minute. Water baptism, again, is taught many times as identification and obedience, which indeed it is, but it is more than just that. When we are identified with Christ, and I've been teaching this from Romans 6 before, it's just like Paul reminds us here. He says, we were baptized into what Christ did for us, okay, on the cross, where he died, and that's the symbolic of going backwards and into the water. He was buried, going under the water, and he rose again, coming out of the water. This is not just a show or anything. It's a real life experience and conviction, not in the baptismal act, but in what has taken place in our lives. Now, I couldn't shut the landline off when you're hearing that ring this morning, but I won't answer it. The recorder will if it's important. Anyway, this is the key. Have we recognized what Christ did for us on the cross when he bore our sin, shed his blood, his body was broken, it was buried, and eventually he died, it was buried, and he rose again from the dead to give us our guarantee of salvation. He was the prototype. He was the forerunner. I'm trying to listen to this message. It's Kenny Robinson, one of the guys from Corwith years ago. Anyway, I'll have to get back to him here in a minute. So it is about identification and obedience, but it's more than that. It shows our identity to the death of sin in our lives and the fact that we have buried that with Christ, but also to the resurrection to new life and the new life we have through Jesus Christ. So spirit baptism and water baptism are both sin blockers because we need to recall that. And if it was real in our lives, that is a sin blocker. It's gonna stop us in our tracks and think, you know what? I died to this stuff. I'm not going to go down this road any further. And I believe the Holy Spirit's used that in my life. So it is a constant reminder of our salvation and what Christ did for us in the cross and the empty tomb. And my friends, that is a very strong sin blocker that is effective in our lives. Let's go to the second point tonight, and this is going to be found in verses 6 through 10 of that same chapter, Romans chapter 6. And it is the following. This sin blocker is knowing Christ's intervention on our behalf. Knowing Christ's intervention on our behalf. This is another thing that we should recall. And so let me read those verses and then I'll expand on them briefly. Here Paul writes, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing, there's that word again, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And so this is the thing that should come to our thinking when we realize that Christ intervened on our behalf of eternal death and destruction there on Calvary's cross. Jesus delivered us from the penalty from the penalty on the cross, and when we receive him by faith, we are delivered from the penalty, which is hell, eternal punishment in hell. He is delivering us currently from the power of sin, and he will, in the future, deliver us from the presence of sin. I've used these several times in messages, but the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. And the Holy Spirit teaches us these foundational truths and reminds us. And so what is important in our lives is that we examine a pattern and a process that is shown in what Christ did for us that should now cause sin to come to a diminished portion or an end in our lives. And so Christ intervened on my behalf. That's the other thing to think that blocks our sin. Look what Jesus did. God in the flesh had to come and die for our sins. Can I tread on that? Should I tread on that? I'll tell you what, friends, if we apply that sin blocker to our lives, I'm going to tell you, we have to do an end run around the Holy Spirit and this knowledge of what Christ did for us and what he is doing for us. We have to do an end run around him with real intent to get to that sin. But most of the times in my life, when I consider this and this sin blocker, it'll stop me in my tracks again. And I say, oh no, Lord, I can't do this. I can't go there. I'm a new person in Christ. Even though I'm struggling with my old person, my old flesh, I'm a new person. You did this for me. How can I sin against you again knowingly and doing it intentionally? Okay, so that's something to consider as well as a blocker. The third point tonight of sin, that is a sin blocker, is found in verses 11 through 14. So we looked at the value of our baptism and how that affects our lives. We look at knowing Christ's intervention on our behalf, on the cross, the empty tomb in our lives. And the third one is reckoning, and reckoning or accounting of our sin struggles. And this is the thing that's very important. We all could sit down tonight and do an evaluation and accounting of our sin in our life. By the way, God knows all this. God's covered those sins. But we need to be aware of our track record. And folks, I think we can all lay it on the line. It's not a pretty record. If we were to expose that to everyone tonight, what God knows about us, we would be embarrassed. Okay? And it would not be a good thing. But the fact of the matter is, we need to take account of where we've been and where we're going. And once again, what we've struggled with, but what Christ has done for us. Verses 11 through 14. Likewise, Paul says, reckon, or do an accounting, ye also yourselves, he says, are you in fact dead indeed to sin, or to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord? So it's not only the sins that we need to take account of, but what Jesus has forgiven us in those sins that he has, if his blood's been applied to our life. Now, I believe this, that our sins are forgiven when we're in Christ without us even asking for them. But the Bible still says, for the believer, I believe this is directed totally, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is still a part here that acknowledges that when we acknowledge to Christ what we've done, he knows it already, he's covered it, but you know what? He gives us a wash-up job with the wash rag where we've confessed and made known these sins to Jesus and these struggles, and it's like I've used the analogy of a little child. In the old days, you used to carry a wash rag for your babies. When they got messed up, they needed a wash up. And that's the same with us. And what a comfort and what a blessing that is when we've set these things before the throne and Jesus has given us, we understand his forgiveness and his compassion toward us in those. So it's very important to do accounting about these struggles. Verse 12, Paul says again here, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I just want to expand a little bit on verse 13 there. Excuse me. This goes back to the concept that we have looked at in Ephesians 4 of putting on and putting off. And so as we do an evaluation of these things, and we know that nature abhors a vacuum, and we if we have empty spots in our life, something will fill that. But what we have to do is we go through this process of putting off sin, of doing the reckoning or the accounting. It's not just enough to put it off, but it's to put on the things of Christ, to fill that, to replace that. And so he's giving us an evaluation method here to do. He's saying, check yourself out. Have you yielded your members to unrighteousness? Well, now you have to replace that in this battle that we're in and with this sin blocker by placing in place of those things the things of Christ. And, of course, he says, we can also know about our relationship with Christ if we are putting on the things of Christ and defeating, again, with his help, the things of unrighteousness in our life. So this is kind of a two-way thing that compares with that text in Ephesians 4. But also the last verse there in that section tonight, it simply is this, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's the ideal. And let me tell you, if you have a sin or sins that are taking control in your life, Paul reminds us, he's saying, we're not under law, but under grace. And here's the point here, folks, that I want to glean from that verse for us all tonight. It is not the normal. It is not the norm for believers to be in this condition. Yeah. It is not the norm for believers to be in this condition. And the reason why is because we are living in the day of grace. And it's not just the church age that we're talking or things like that or unmerited favor. That's all true. But we're living in the days of grace of the Holy Spirit that indwells us to teach us through the Word and maybe even through this message tonight about these things. But anyway, the bottom line with this on this third sin blocker is that accountability and acknowledgement are an important force in defeating sin in our lives. So that brings us to the last point, point four. And this point is simply this. It's the sin blocker of yielding to God and resisting sin activity actively. Yielding to God and resisting sin activity actively. So let's look at verses 15 through 23. What then, Paul writes, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? This kind of is a repeat of what we heard earlier. And he tells us, point blank, no, may it never be. using the analogy again, if grace is abundant, then why not go ahead and sin and use the grace? Wrong thinking, not the way God intended it. Know you not, verse 16, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Now, I have a couple servants that I think that fall in that category. It's first of all, the servant of self, but it's all and self and selfishness, but it's also the servant of Satan. So you can put some S's in there to alliterate that. But if Satan is working in your life as well and trying to attack you, trying to destroy you, by the way, he cannot destroy you in your spiritual well-being, but he can certainly wreak havoc in your physical life, in your spiritual as well in the physical sense, but he can't take your salvation if you're genuinely saved. But he can make life miserable in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He can defeat you. So Paul's saying here, you can clearly identify where you're at if you're by who you serve. To obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you, and I want you to notice this here in the text, that you were, Paul's writing to the Christians at Rome, he says, you born-again believers need to understand that this is what you came from, okay? And if you came from it, again, identified with Christ in your salvation, just like what he talked about with baptism there earlier, if you are trending back toward this type of thinking, this is where you were. It's not where you're headed or should be headed, okay? Because thankfully, this was something of our past that when we were saved is no longer to be the common case. So past tense here, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or truth which was delivered to you. That's in your salvation. You believe Christ died for my sins. I'm a sinner, unworthy, unable to get to heaven, to get into the good graces of God. The only way that I can is through the good grace of God toward me through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And so again, this is a process of yielding to God and resisting sin activity actively in our lives. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so when we yield to the righteousness of God and his ways, it causes us to be sanctified, to be progressively sanctified and become set apart. That's what that word sanctified means. Set aside for the glory of God. These are things to consider in our lives. Now, we also need to remember here that we are not alone in this, that Paul struggled with this throughout his whole life. And I'm paraphrasing his spiritual Christian experience as well, you know, is what he really wrote about. We know what he came from, and then he was born again there on the road to Damascus. But we know he struggled, and the paraphrase I want to use is that he essentially said, I know to do right, I want to do right, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. So Paul knew. He faced these struggles. He wrote about these things in his writings through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us a couple things here as I close this evening to remember as well that are valid when it comes to diagnosing and to having the effects of sin blockers. By the way, I'll get to that later, but verses 21 and 22, Paul says, what fruit, he's talking to the believers at Rome, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? I mentioned shame earlier. Our past or the sin that we've had in the present, if it were to be revealed, God knows it, but if it were to be to others, oh, that's Pastor John, yeah. Or that's, pick a name that is here tonight or anyone else. The key here is the word fruit. And what Paul is saying, there is no fruit in that past at all. There's no fruit there. You know, John 15, the vine and the branches chapter, it's God's desire that we not only bear fruit, but that we bear more fruit and much fruit. That's the pattern in the life of a believer. But what he's really telling us here is this, is that fruit production removes time that we might be tempted to sin. And it uses the time now toward holiness, okay, rather than the opposite thing. So that's a key thing about sin and examining our lives. Are you spending time in fruit production, which when you're busy and you're occupied in bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you will not be spending it cultivating sin in your life, see? The old saying, not biblical, but could be spun off the Bible, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Well, busy hands for the Lord, that it's truly engaged from the heart, not for a prideful purpose, will help you to use time wisely, and it will cause you to not be in the situation of temptation if it's done correctly. So think about that. And then verse 22 combined with that, Paul says, but now being made free from sin, that's our salvation, and become servants to God, if that's the inclination of our heart, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So, fruit production is a sin blocker, my friends. It's yielding to God, resisting sin activity actively through production of fruit. So verse 23, simply I have this written down. The gift incentive should motivate us, the gift of salvation, should motivate us to the resistance of sin and holy living because of and for Jesus that's shown in fruit production. So that's another sin blocker that, you know, is associated with that and will keep us on the right track with the Lord. I trust tonight some of these thoughts from the hand of the Apostle Paul will be profitable for us. But I want to close with one more verse, and that's Romans 6:23, which probably a lot of us could quote. But Romans 6:23 ends up this little discourse from Paul and says, for the wages of sin, or the payback for our sin, is death. And that's not only physical death, but eternal death of the unredeemed in Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this gift of eternal life that the Lord has given us should motivate us, once again, to the resistance of sin. It's a sin blocker in itself, verse 23. And again, to holy living because of what Christ has done for us. He's expunged our death penalty and granted us fruit production and eternal life through His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this, folks, if we'll factor these things into our life, just these 4 points tonight, in general, it will be a great help to us that God has given, once again, through His Word and through the hand of Paul, to effectively block sin at its origin when it starts in our lives. And of course, we know from the book of James, you know, things may cross our mind, but that's one thing. It has to end there. If we go further, it becomes active sin when it's put into activity. And so, may the Lord help us to defeat the power of Satan in our lives. Now the conclusion. For many years, I have been on a drug called metoprolol. Some of you may be on that as well. Some of you know that I'm a kind of a high-strung person, or can be. Several years ago, you know, my heart would just race when I was doing things like baling hay and so forth. So the doctor put me on metoprolol, and that's a beta blocker that keeps your heart rate under control. So after I first began to take it, and before my body was used to it, I'd go out in the hay mow when we were baling hay in hot weather. I used to could throw bales long distances, nonstop. But after I began to take the beta blocker, well, my chest would get tight after I threw about 10 bales. And so I'd have to take a little breather and slow myself down. So now to throw 10 bales, I had to take it in a slower pace, or it wasn't a heart attack, but my chest would get tight because these beta blockers were slowing down my heart rhythm for my own good. Anyway, it controls your heart rate. But hopefully, as it did for me with my physical heart issue, what we've learned tonight about these sin blockers will help to control our sin and will be, again, beneficial for those that have heard this tonight and are those that have been rescued from our sin and from eternal destruction. Again, my heart goes out if there'd be one with us tonight that has never been rescued. And folks, if we have not been rescued, we will pay the price for our sins. And that price, my friends, is death, just like Romans 6:23 says. It's not only to die physically, but it's to die eternally in punishment and torment and hell. There is a recompense for sin, and it is costly. And that's why these sin blockers are so important. But thanks be to God that Jesus blocked these effects of sin at the cross, if we'll but receive them into our lives and put them into practice. Don't forget, even on Sunday evenings, Jesus is just a call away. May you have a prosperous rest of your evening and a week to come in Christ. I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll close with the song. Be dismissed. Have a good week in the Lord. Take care till we meet again.